Welcome to the fourth edition of All Killer, No Filler podcast with me, Rachel Fairburn, and Kiri Pritchard-McLean. Today's episode, we are talking about Elizabeth Báthory, the Countess of Blood. And we must stress before we do start talking about today's serial killer, we're not doing this podcast because we admire serial killers or we don't glorify them. We just have a mutual interest in them. And as long as we're doing this podcast, to be fair, it's stopping us from writing to them in prison.
So I think we decided that we wanted to do a chick, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because I know this is only the fourth one, but I mean, as a feminist, I thought that we should discuss a female serial. I think, I'm working on a little theory, Rachel.
Yeah.
I think that serial killers and comedians are quite similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an antisocial lifestyle that your family are never going to understand. Lots of late nights, I imagine the money that you have to output to get any notoriety is exactly the same kind
definitely.
Of...
Definitely. The amount of money you spend on bin liners. Probably astonishing.
And how much time you spend in dubious B&Bs as well. And I think that they're similar as well in that you never just say, oh, serial killer Elizabeth Báthory. You would say female serial killer.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same. You never say, oh, comedian Rachel Fairburn. It's female comedian.
Yeah, well, it's
Rachel
like when they always offer, we need recommendations for female comedians for this gig.
Female comedians is my
worst. Oh, comedians. I hate that term. It's
disgusting,
so...
isn't it?
What year is it? 50s, isn't it? She's a comedian, and then she gets her boobs out at the end. It's just, ugh. But yes, it's female serial killer.
And I think the ratio is probably similar as well, isn't it? About 10 serial killers to one female serial killer, which I think is about the same in comedy as well. But you know what? When the women do it, they really do it fucking well.
They
just like comedy.
It. Exactly.
I think they commit to it, don't they?
She's Elizabeth Báthory, most prolific serial killer in history.
Yeah, alleged.
Alleged, not just female serial killer. Alleged most prolific serial killer in
history. Even more than the Beast of Bolivia or Harold Shipman, who are coming in at about 300. But Elizabeth Báthory is meant to have killed up to 650. Now, here's the sort of problem that we've had with her, in that because it was in sort of like the 16th century, it's really hard to figure out what is fact and fiction.
Yeah.
And because it was such a shocking case, they've buried a lot of it. So we're going to try and present what we think are the facts in this, rather than just going, she was a leather in that. Which actually does rear its head, but we're going to try and keep it to the facts. So we're going to start by talking about her upbringing. She was born in 1560, put it into some kind of historical context. It was a really violent, bloody time, wasn't it?
A lot of wars going on. She was Hungarian. There was a war between the Hungarians and the Turks going on. Basically, everyone was kicking off in those days.
So the Ottomans and the Hungarians were at war, but also the serfs, as they were known, who were Slovakian, I think, who were sort of the lower classes, were also at war with the noble people. Basically, everyone was fighting, and she was brought up around a lot of violence. She was pregnant by the time she was 13. She's said to be very beautiful. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of the thing. Obviously, we can't prove that, because who is going to say to the richest woman, possibly in the world at the time?
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Could do something with your hair, love. I'm not going to...
Just run your fingers through it. Yeah, so she was pregnant at the age of 13, which was fairly shocking in those days, but still not shocking if you consider the climate of kind of... They were basically hedonists, I think, that kind of era.
I think the fact that they knew they weren't going to live very long, I think a lot of factors in the old medieval times, especially if you were rich, if you knew you weren't going to get pregnant at 13, that's probably the equivalent of being 25 in those days, because the lifespan was...
Just... Yeah, that's true. I'd not thought about it like that. I suppose it's like the war as well, isn't it? My mum was telling me about in the Second World War. My grandma was saying, because no one knew if anyone was going to live from day to day, so the guys would come home from fighting abroad and they'd be like, oh, we've got a black baby, have we? And we're like, let's just... come on, I didn't think you were ever going to come back.
Keep your chin up, stiff upper lip and all that.
Stiff upper something. So, she's pregnant at 13.
By one of the peasants as well.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Which will go her.
Yeah, and then the baby was apparently given away to a peasant family to bring up, so it was taken off her because they couldn't have a peasant baby in the family.
So she was married to her own cousin because they were big on inbreeding.
Oh, keeping that line pure.
she married a cousin at 15. So you're pregnant at 13, married at 15, which is like a country and western song. They got her to marry what was in bloodline her cousin so they could make a really strong empire, because she was rich already, but he was really rich, and he gave her a castle when they got married, which is one of the ones that she spent most of her time in.
Yeah.
So she got this massive estate then. Well, I was listening to a documentary and they said, they were like, the Posh and Becks of the day, which is, I don't know if they're trying to imply that Posh and Becks are sacrificing young girls to keep their youth.
Although you never know.
I wouldn't put it past
her. I wouldn't put it past it. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, maybe it's start with Rebecca Lewis.
Yeah, he does look very smug though, David Beckham. So.
He does, yeah, he does.
He looks like a man who's getting away with it.
He's getting away with something, yeah, isn't
definitely.
It?
Definitely.
She was a descendant of Vlad the Impaler, which is obviously what inspired Bram Stoker's Dracula, and also Bathory means brave. It's like the Hungarian word for brave. So she's from this like great line of sort of people who are amazing in battle, but also apparently had a really horrible mean streak. So wouldn't just kill people, they were sort of into torture. That was basically normality for her, because some of the things that she saw when she was a kid are pretty brutal.
One of the tortures that they gave to someone was dying horse, and they sewed the man into the dying horse with just his head exposed.
Yeah.
And that was his
And then
death.
They left the horse and him to
and
die.
And they left them both to die.
Which is,
I mean, to see that as a young person.
Apparently she was laughing sort of like in a maniacal way when it was happening, which just says to me, but then I suppose if you're sewing people into dead horses, you're like, oh, she's a bit weird, she's really enjoying this. You're like, that's my girl.
Yeah. That's the spirit. But I mean, suppose being brought up around so much war and torture when it's considered normal, that, I mean, now that there's a horse involved, maybe it was quite a novel thing to see. Like, oh, that makes a change from the rat.
Like you say, this kind of, like, ultra-violent community, really weird, torture's normal, and horrible things like this dead horse thing. Maybe it's like, she just didn't, maybe she had no barometer of what's right and wrong. You know, like when you go to university, and there's someone who puts bread in the fridge, and you're like, what are you doing that for? And they're like, well, we always do it at home. And you're like, that is really weird. It's just cold bread. Stops it going. No, it doesn't stop it going off.
You've just made it cold.
Yeah, just made it cold, and you've taken up half a shelf. So I think it might be that. Also, she had you get a violent childhood. She used to have fits and seizures, so I think there's some frontal lobe damage going on.
And apparently that ran in the family as well, didn't it? A lot of them were prone to fits and sort of seizures and things and fits of anger.
She had fits of rage, didn't she? Loads of inbreeding going on. Also, because apparently she was really, like, sexually active, in that she's very beautiful, very powerful, wander around the village and be like, you, have sex with me now. Even from the age of, like, 13, she was like that. So she's probably syphilitic as well.
Oh, probably,
How do you not get a murderer out of all those things?
Just have that power, though. I think she's kind of the most dangerous kind of person. A sexual sadist with power.
Mm.
That is...
Yeah, because when they're just in their, like, one-bedroom flat in Mile End in London, you know, like, choking themselves...
Yeah.
...and masturbating in front of the 10 o'clock news, they're just keeping themselves to themselves. But when it's like, I've got the power to just kill and maim people as and when I want, that's when it's like, oh, no.
Well, it's like a bit like Jimmy Savile, isn't it? You know, oh, I want to do this. Nobody's going to stop me. Yeah. I can get away with anything.
Maybe she worked for the BBC as well.
Probably, yeah. A pervert with power.
Well, it was her husband that got her into torturing. He was like, I don't know if it was on their honeymoon or whatever, but he started to teach her. And then it was sort of like the teacher becomes the master, because she had a real flair for it, didn't
she? Yeah, she really took to it. Once she was shown how to do it, that was it. She was well into the old torture. One of her uncles was a instructor in Satanism. Her auntie was into sadomasochism and taught her all about sadomasochism.
And she was an out lesbian as well, wasn't she? Which is quite... I mean, it sounds quite unusual, but it sounds like they were just doing whatever they wanted then. I mean, obviously, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm all for gay pride. But yeah, she had an auntie who was a... I think the phrase that I used that I read was notorious lesbian.
Notorious lesbian.
I think that's a rapper,
Elizabeth's auntie. Yeah, so she taught sadomasochism. She got really into it. I think it's just a case of so many mad people with so much power, nobody's doing anything.
Mm.
And to them, obviously, it was quite normal. She had an uncle who was an instructor in Satanism, and an auntie who was into sadomasochism and taught her all about that. I can't relate to the battery at all, because, like, my uncle was a driving instructor, and the only thing my auntie has ever, like, taught me is, like, don't trust men whose eyebrows meet in the middle. And if you look at my catalogue of exes, I've clearly not listened to them.
Some of the theories as well about why she tortured, because they said it's because she was gay and couldn't deal with it. Because she used to sort of like burn their genitals with candle. It was always usually focused around sort of sexual organs. That doesn't stack up to me at all, because if she had a lesbian auntie that was sort of like her mentor, you wouldn't be like, oh, I can't possibly be gay. It doesn't
yeah,
stack
it
up.
Doesn't ring true to me that either, because she was in a position where she could do what she wanted.
Yeah.
In that position, she could do what she wanted. I mean, she had a husband as well, and she also had 4 or 5 children,
yeah,
I think, wasn't it? She would just have got on with it and done as she pleased.
Well, yeah, because she did whatever she wanted in every other respect, so why would you say yeah. that? So she was a sadomasochist and at least bisexual. Mm-hmm. She was massively into torture. She sounds like a right fucking laugh, to be honest. She's,
without a doubt, yeah.
She sounds like someone who you probably wouldn't go on holiday with, but you'd have a really good, like a hen night would be fucking brilliant with her. You'd wake up with a new tattoo and probably missing a toenail.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh God, I love it when Liz comes out.
Going out with Lizzie tonight. Oh, blimey.
Yeah, I've got flat shoes, just in case. She had this massive, massive empire. So big that the king at the time owed her money. That's how powerful her family was. And when her husband went away to war to fight, which he frequently did, and was known for being really brutal on the battlefield, she used to just run the whole empire. I was watching a documentary where someone said she was an unusually intelligent woman for the time, which I don't think is the right phrase. I think that means she was unusually educated. It wasn't like, isn't it mad when a woman's clever? Yeah, but she spoke loads of different languages. She would take... See, there's a few things that I think, is that... Are we getting to know the real her? Because apparently there was a woman whose daughter was raped and she sort of helped her out and helped it get to the courts and would defend women. It tended to be noble women that she took an interest in, but she would defend them and help them with their affairs if her husband died and things.
Yeah, see, that's quite interesting. The fact that she ran the huge empire that she had while her husband was away, taking control of everything, back in the 1500s, 1600s, that's a massive thing for a woman to do back then. And it does make you think, is everything else surrounding her crap, basically?
Yeah. And apparently she was a very good mother as well.
Yeah, doting mother, I think the phrase was.
So, I don't know, there are some things that seem to be in it almost exact opposite to the picture that's painted of her. So how it came to trial, how all these horrific crimes came out, is she used to kill peasant girls and then she ran out of those, even though there were 17 villages surrounding her castle that she owned. And then she moved on to noble women. Because it was noble women, they couldn't ignore it anymore. So they set up a task force, which the king sent, and basically these guys sort of descended on the castle and it was horrific. Said it smelt like an abattoir. Oh, which is such a graphic description, isn't it?
Lizzie, your castle stinks, love.
Oh, mate. But then people can't smell their own houses, so we shouldn't judge her too harshly, should we?
And it actually,
I bet I smell of dog all the time and I've got no idea.
Well, I can't smell it. I've got a terrible sense of smell, actually. But saying, like, you know, people can't smell their own houses, it sounds like something your mum would say if you've been cheated on. Oh, come on, Rachel. You know what it's like? People can't smell their own houses.
It does sound like...
Yeah, it does sound like...
Should be on a fridge magnet.
Always remember, you can't smell your own ass.
Yeah, so they went to the castle.
Dogs basically, running around.
There was dogs, running around with bits of girl in their mouth. There was all sort of shallow graves, so the dog would dig them up and eat them. Ugh. There was a girl who was sort of half burnt, who then died of her injuries later. There was another girl who's in the process of being tortured.
Yeah, so this is allegedly, they turn up at this castle. One, it stinks. Two, there's dogs running around with bits in the gob. And then, allegedly, they go into, like, the torture part of the castle, and Lizzie's there actually torturing a girl.
Mid-torture.
It just seems like it's a really sort of shit sitcom, doesn't it? That they'd walk in and she'd just turn around covered in blood and just shrug and they'd all go, "That's Lizzie!"
Oh, I'd love to see that on Nickelodeon.
I'd like to see that on Nickelodeon.
I don't know why
well.
They're picking on it, because they went into her house unannounced. Like, the British Gas guy came over yesterday. I was in the bath. I'm going to get straight back in my bath when he carries on, because it's like, it's my house, I'll do what I want, mate.
You know, they did turn up unannounced. There was no warning. If there had been warning, maybe she could have hid the bodies and, you know, done a quick dust round.
Yeah, exactly. Done a bit of shake and vac and burned some incense. It started a massive trial. They had 300 witness statements. Although, said witness statements... We don't know how reliable they are.
The statements they took, most of the people couldn't read or write.
Well, because what they would do is they'd write down their statements as they said them, and they'd go, "Does this look right to you?" And then they'd look at what probably to them looked like hieroglyphs, and were like, "Yeah, that's fine."
That'll
and
do.
Most of them were signed with an X, because they didn't have a signature, so they just had to make a mark on the paper. So we don't really know how much of that is true, but they did interview her accomplices, because she had like a team of torturers.
Yeah. And what a team they were. There was a witch, a dwarf, and a servant.
Walk into a bar.
Yeah.
And kill a load of women. So they have this elderly, sort of very dark black magic witch from the village. It was a deformed dwarf called Fizgo.
Fizgo.
I love that name.
I like that name.
It's a great, it's a dog's name, isn't it? Fizgo.
Fizgo.
And then the serving woman. And they would assist her in her torturing. The authorities then tortured them to get them to give evidence. Because at the time, it was deemed that any evidence or statements got under torture were more reliable than those that were just given, that were volunteered. And that is the most perverse logic I've ever heard.
Yeah. One of the evidence things that they gave, it was one of the actual tortures Elizabeth and her cohort did, was apparently one of them was they put a woman in a cage with spikes in it. They would all stand around watching. Fizgo the dwarf would shout sexual obscenities at her as somebody just prodded her to death with a spear.
Standard.
I have to say, like, when I read that, I thought, you know, I've had some bad dreams. But it's like something you would be in bed at night, you'd be dreaming it, and you'd wake up and you go, well, that was weird. I wonder what the dwarf means. Does that mean I'm going to travel? It's like really sort of a strange scenario. As if, like, it couldn't be terrifying enough, but just to look round and there's a witch.
It's like a Cannibal Corpse dwarf music video, or Marilyn Manson.
Completely bizarre.
Bring in the dwarves. At the end of the trial, they killed her accomplices, but not her. So the women, apparently, they cut their fingers off with red-hot pincers, which just sounds horrendous.
Yeah.
And then they threw them on a fire, and then Fizgo, they disemboweled him, and I think they burned him afterwards. It sort of sounds like the kind of stuff that they were accused of doing to other people, but now there's just a judge involved in it. So.
Yeah, it sounds exactly the kind of thing Elizabeth would have really enjoyed.
Yeah, she probably, I mean, if they let her watch, that would have been perfect. Yeah. She probably would have got off to that. So here are some of the things. This is pretty strong stuff, so get ready.
If you've just eaten, give it half an hour.
I wouldn't, yeah. So these are some of the things that she's said to have done. So she meant to have killed 650 girls. They're only prosecuted for 38 of those. Now, things that she's meant to have done. Burnt genitals with a candle. Made torture devices. So the one that you described that was like a cage. Yeah. There's cages as well that they would hoist up and then knives would come out the sides. And there'd be knives in the ceiling. And what would they do is one of them would swing the cage. So when they tried to move out of the way of the knives, they would swing into another one. And they'd just sort of hang there. This is one of the ones she used to do with her husband. Is stick pins under fingernails and toenails and burn between the toes. Which sounds like, although it's not the most like gruesome, it just sounds like the most painful, doesn't it? We've all got a splinter under your nail.
That really, makes you wince, that one.
You used to cut the fingers off of maids that were disobeyed or did something wrong. Oh, the cold water death is some of the worst ones. So they'd send a girl outside and then strip her naked and then throw cold water over her again and again and again until it froze over it. You know, like guy from The Shining. What, apparently one of the serving girls did something wrong and she flew into one of her rages. And she grabbed her jaw and pulled it open, just like pulled the jaw off, which is just one of the worst things I've ever heard.
It's mad, isn't it? It takes some strength to do that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. She must have been doing at least press ups every morning.
Definitely.
I kind of think it's more visceral than when someone shoots, like the Zodiac Killer shoots people.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a stepping, or even stab someone, but to physically take your hands
on somebody's jaw.
Well, the other one as well is that she was, because the thing, if she was 650, she killed about 17 people every year. So she was really sick in bed and she couldn't go down and torture, so they ordered for a serving girl to be brought up to her, and they brought this girl up and then she just sat up in bed and then apparently bit her neck and then was taking chunks out of her neck and her breasts, which is like, bleh. The strength to do it,
yeah.
Sometimes I struggle with halloumi, let alone a serving girl.
And especially in those days when I always think people's teeth were rancid back in the 1560s.
Maybe she was just gumming it.
Yeah, that's what concerns me. I always imagine she'd be biting it a bit so the teeth would be crumbling out.
Oh, God.
It's just horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I had a reason once, you know, the chocolate cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Lost a molar to one of them. It's so sad. It's so, so sad to read about all these girls because they just had no way of... No one would believe them and no one would do anything because they're peasant girls.
And ultimately, I don't think anyone cared at the time. I think it was a bit like, oh, well, you know.
Well, actually, there was one of the local, like, vicars wrote a letter to her saying, you need to stop doing it. And he was considered very brave because he said it's beyond, because torture and bad treatment of serfs was normal, but at, like, explicit sadomasochistic torture wasn't. And he was like, come on, you can knock them about a bit, but can we stop cutting their fingers off, please?
Just can you keep them in one piece?
Yeah, so he already put his head above the parapet with her and was considered very brave. But it just seems incredibly sad that these girls would just go, oh, well, that's another one gone then. They could recognize her carriage going through the villages at night with a with the two black horses, and they were just trying to hide the girls. But she just, yeah, she ran out of them in the end. And I just think with those 650 girls, you know when they do, what's it called, hypnotherapy, and they take people back in time, and they're always like...
Regression.
Yeah, that's it. Regression, yeah. Isn't it? So like, what can you see? I can see a pyramid. I am Cleopatra. It's something like one in like every 60 people will say that they were Cleopatra in a previous life. If it was anywhere near accurate, I think that we would all probably be a murdered peasant. Or 650 of us certainly yeah. would be like, I'm getting my fanny burnt with a candle.
There's a dwarf next to me.
There's a dog carrying a girl's arm around the place.
It smells really bad. Yeah, I think with
knowing my luck, I'd definitely be a murdered peasant girl.
I just think I'd be an average peasant girl. I'd be regressing. I'd be like, yeah, it's 1542. I'm 17. I'm now 20 and I'm dying. Nothing happened.
Just consumption.
Yeah, that'd be it.
So her nickname is the Countess of Blood, which is pretty fucking cool.
That is a cool nickname to have, innit? Rachel, but just call me the Countess of Blood.
I think this is where the biggest part of the myth comes in,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, apparently she was said to bathe in the blood of virgins, all the girls, any of the girls that she'd killed, so to keep her young. There is an instance where apparently she hit one of her maids, of course she did, broke her nose, and the blood went on her hand, and she rubbed it into her hand, and she was like, oh, well, this has rejuvenating qualities, and decided from then on that she was going to use blood. I'm not sure if I believe the maid story, because if she was torturing people every day, which she probably would have been, she was surrounded by so much blood, why would it take somebody's nosebleed to just, just rub it in there, that'll do it, that'll do the trick. Also, to bath in blood. We have 8 pints of blood in our body, I think it is, isn't it? How many pints of that? How many people have you got to drain?
It's a shit bath, isn't it?
Is a shit bath.
It's a horse bath.
And you just have to kill so many people, and then did she warm it up?
I was in that.
Cold bath?
Cold bath in blood. Oh my god, it must have stunk.
It seems really. Yeah, oh god. I have to say, I don't believe that bit of the story. I think she probably did use bits of, drops of the blood. Maybe she did rub it into her skin. I don't think she ever bathed.
Well, they said that she was obsessed because she was so beautiful. It was all about stopping the aging process, wasn't it?
Having said that, maybe I can believe it, because I think if you're that vain, for example, if somebody turned around today and said to Kim Kardashian, oh Kim, you know what's really good for keeping you looking young? If you kill a baby, drain its blood and just rub it all over your face, you're going to look fantastic. I think she would do it. If she's not already.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she's sacrificing kids already.
I think people would do it. I mean, people put things like lambs placentas on the faces, don't they? Yeah, there's that. There's another blood facial thing that you can have where I think they prick your skin so you bleed, and then they rub the skin over the blood over your face. There's pictures of it on some beauty website I was looking at on. It's on there. I'm sorry, that's just grim.
God, why are people so fuck stupid?
I don't know. Vanity. Grim, innit?
I think this whole bathing in blood thing is bullshit as well, because one of the incorrect witness statements said that when she used to torture, sometimes there was so much blood in the people she was torturing that they would have to scoop it out by the pail. If it was that precious blood, you wouldn't just be like, oh, just let it go all over the floor. You would have stuff that would capture it.
Yeah, you'd be draining somebody and, getting a bucket and making sure people kept it.
Yeah.
Then put it straight in the bath. I've had a long day.
You'd have a system going, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd have a system. So I do think that that's a myth. I think it comes from something.
Oh, do you think there's a seed of something?
I think there's something. I think maybe she did rub a bit of blood on her face at times. Or maybe she executed when she was killing people and torturing them. Maybe she was covered in so much blood. They're like, oh, she's been bathing in it. Yeah. She's covered in it. Maybe
always
it was
to rub it on her face, because she's batshit enough to do stuff like that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely. She's at least rubbed it in her face. At least.
Right, I'm just saying, at the very least, she's rubbed it in her face. There is an alternate and ever-growing popular movement amongst, it is particularly sort of Hungarian academics, who think that she was misunderstood. They think that she was massively fucking stitched up. Because one of the things is, the king who she owed money to, who ordered the trial in the first place, he knew that if she got prosecuted, her estate would automatically go to the crown. So they were like, oh, well, that's not very fair, because he's got motive there, because for a start his debt would be written off and he would inherit all of her lands and therefore legitimately make him the most powerful person, as opposed to just the king. So there are more and more people who think that she was actually a doctor, or that she was performing abortions for the local girls that needed them, and that she, because that's one of the things that she said, she asked the court to give mercy, and she said, I was just helping them. She said that servant girls were frequently diseased and frequently injured, and that she was just helping them. One of the guys I saw an interview with on a documentary, he shows a guy, he went, look at this, what does that look like? And the guy's like, yeah, like a torture instrument. He's like, no, not so. This is actually for heating up and then cauterizing wounds. And that was one of the things that was found in her castle. And it's like, how does it make it? That's still, just because it can be used for medicine. Scalpels can be used in medicine as well. Exactly. That doesn't mean anyone using a scalpel is a hero.
And that is just one of the things.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Just one of them.
What about the cage covered in knives? Not, oh, that's for getting rid of warts.
You've not seen the hacksaw that she cut people's legs off with and then used the tool to cauterize the stump. Do you know what I mean? It's so frustrating because you've got no way of knowing, have you? Because it's so long after everything. We're never going to know the truth about it. There is something was going on. I don't think she was helping them. I mean, performing abortions.
Yeah, that's... I don't believe that she was, like, the
getting this Draker. Getting this spiky cage while we get rid of that unwanted baby.
Yeah. Maybe she hoped the stress would do it.
Send in the dwarf.
Just make them wear high heels and drink loads of gin instead. That's what the Victorians did. But I can't believe... I mean, part of me wants to believe that she's, like, this amazingly powerful woman that loads of, like, guys feel threatened by and then go... let's stitch her up.
Mm.
And that they then, because like that to me is almost more romantic and heroic, but I really don't believe with all the fucked up shit, like to a certain extent there's no smoke without fire and all the weird shit that she was doing. I don't think she was bathing in blood, but I do think that she was fucking bonkers and she was torturing people.
Yeah.
And I think to go, oh no, she was when you put pins under people's fingernails, what you're actually doing is testing their reflexes. Yeah. It's like, no, I don't buy that at all.
It's to ward off evil spirit. I don't buy that. And I think the jaw thing as well, if that's true, she's just mad.
Yeah, she's just
completely off the wall. She's a crazy woman.
And prolific as well, because as I said, she ran out of peasants. And this is the thing, while she was killing peasants, no one, A, gave a shit, and B, could do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Because of this whole fight between the noble people and the serfs, they were terrified about doing anything that would upset the noble people in case they slaughtered them again. So they would just let them take their girls. But she just ran out of them. So what she did was she set up a boarding school. She set up like a finishing school in her castle and said to the noble people, oh, if you want me to teach your girl how to be a lady, fucking she's the least ladylike person in the world, then send them to my school. And they're like, yeah, brilliant. And they'd send them there. And obviously they'd be like, oh, she fell out of the window. I'm really sorry about that.
Quite aptly named, the finishing school, isn't it? You send your daughters to me and I'll finish them for you. But once the noble women started...
that's when people started
giving
a shit.
Yeah, that's when people started getting a bit... hold on a minute.
That's the thing that makes me hate boarding schools even more, that story. Again, like, I feel dubious there because everyone must have known what was going on in the castle. Like, or there must have been rumours at least. So why knowing that and knowing what all these girls have got to be like... isn't it funny that there's only lads here, like, wandering around modern-day China, like, oh, there's not many girls, are there? I wonder why that is. Must be a coincidence. That you wouldn't then go, yeah, I probably will send my only daughter to her castle and just hope that she comes back.
I mean, unless the fact that she was just so powerful, they would be like, maybe there was no choice. Maybe it was like, you have to send your daughters here, you don't know, send them here, or this will happen.
Make an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah, you don't know, do you? Because she would be so frightened of upsetting her. Or getting on the wrong side of her. She was the most powerful person around. Maybe it was just like, off you go to finishing school.
I suppose you can't refuse her because there was that soprano, wasn't there?
Oh my God, yeah. She saw a soprano singing in one of the churches and she was so impressed by it. She thought she was brilliant. She invited her to her castle to give her a personal performance. Poor woman was so nervous because she was performing it in front of all these important people, that Elizabeth, she sang really badly. Elizabeth Bathory decided, she flew into a rage and had her killed.
Yeah, she tortured her as well. And she was a noble woman, this soprano.
Yeah.
And that's when they think, like, it started to, it just got so bad they couldn't ignore it.
And that is a bad gig as well.
And we've all died on stage, haven't we?
At least give it an hour and you feel a bit better, but that is a really bad gig.
At least when I tank somewhere, I then don't, like, I'm not, my life isn't threatened.
Yeah.
Like, if I have a ropey one, I self-flagellate my car all the way back. I don't actually
get... Or you might just get a burger on the way home and go, oh, I feel a bit better now. Everything's all right. At least it's not the fear of actual death.
So how they punished her was... because they couldn't kill her. She never gave evidence at the trial as well, because that's one of the people that defend her use that as an example of go, well, we never heard what she had to say. She was never able to defend herself. So how they punished her was they couldn't kill her, because her apparently all the noble people rallied around all the batteries and said, no, you're not killing her. So what they did is they got a few rooms in her castle and they bricked her up inside them. She was 50 at the time, and they bricked her up inside and kept her in like the same four rooms, and they would have slits for air and to push food through. And then she died like 4 years later.
I have to say, that is not punishment. To me, that sounds like luxury. Heaven. Brick me up in a room in my own house. Just have a slit Netflix. For food. Netflix. I'm happy. I don't have to see anyone. I don't have to speak to anyone. I'm fine. All right, I'm surrounded by my own feces. And I'm covered in piss.
You don't? Maybe there was a slit for that.
A slit for shit.
Yeah,
a slit for shit. Shit slit. Be more than happy to see out the rest of my day. It's just walled up in a room in my house.
Is that your dream scenario?
That is my dream.
I'm like, I want to live in a country house with loads of rescue dogs and foster children. And you're like, just fucking brick me up
just
and leave me a slit for food.
And a slit for shit. And I am happy. Yeah. 4 years of heaven she had there. 4 years of solitary heaven.
Oh, I think it sounds horrendous. And also she... Because, I mean, what if she was innocent? And you just bricked up and forgotten about. Because this is the thing. They don't actually know when she died. Because when one of the guards eventually looked through one of the slits and saw that she was dead and surrounded by plates of uneaten food. So she must have been there at least a couple of days. That means that no one was really checking on her.
Yeah.
They were just pushing the food through. It's like, you know, when you're little and there's that spare room in your house you're frightened of, and your dad's like, go and put them pillows away or whatever, and you just like run to the door and throw it in and then shut the door. That's where Dracula lives. Just me. I wonder why I'm into serial killers. I just think it's really, really sad.
Especially when you don't know. Like you say, she could very well have been innocent. They could just have been very intimidated by her power and the fact that she was running all these, you know, this kingdom with all these, and had all this money, and the king owed her money, which is quite an important thing that we need to remember. It is sad.
It's sad in every respect, because it's sad that girls were dying, whether she was legitimately a doctor, and they were dying of bodged medical procedures and tuberculosis and everything else, and cholera and syphilis and everything else that was knocking around back then, or whether they were tortured, which is horrendous to think of. There's no good outcome in this story. It's just incredibly sad.
If only they would have taken photographs at the crime scene.
Oh, God, yeah. And I could Google them to my heart's content. Not very good with crime scene photos, you know.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I don't ever Google those.
No, I think if you're Googling crime scene photos, you're a bit grubber.
Yeah, do you think so?
I think you're grubber.
You're in it for the wrong reasons. And you glory hunter.
Yeah, you're going to be in for a nasty surprise if you never, ever Google crime scene photographs. In fact, I'm not really sure why they're allowed on the internet anyway.
I don't know why they're allowed. It's really easy to find pictures of dead people. I found this out. So I was reading someone's tweet, someone like Lefty, like Owen Jones, and then do you ever read that and then you read the replies by mistake and you just get into it? So I found some guy called, like, Pistol Rules, and then clicked on him, and he's, like, a pro-UKIP guy who thinks that guns should be brought back to the UK, which is just such a fucking baffling... That's one of the things we've got right.
Yeah.
He's like, no guns, thank you.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, no, that we shouldn't have to license them, let's just bring them back. And
give everyone a gun.
Well, one of the things was, the pictures that he had used was, like... Basically, it was a guy in South Africa who tried to carjack someone, and the back of his head was completely blown away, and I can't unsee that now. And he was like, another carjacker brought to justice because the guy had a gun. It's like, yeah, but the carjacker had a gun as well. The reason why everyone has guns is because someone had them in the first place.
Yeah, it's just like when people put awful pictures on, and I don't even remember what context this was in, of Mexican drug dealers who'd been beheaded. Why are you putting that on Facebook or Twitter? I can read something and ascertain that something's horrific. I don't need to see that picture on Twitter. In the right context, maybe in a textbook about that thing.
Mm.
And people just Google them, and it's like people who watch videos of beheadings. What is wrong with you?
Anyway, we've gone right off topic here.
We digress.
So that is Elizabeth Bathory. She's the most prolific serial killer. She's also a lady. I don't know what to believe. I don't believe she was a doctor.
I definitely don't believe she was a doctor.
I think a lot of it's been embellished.
I don't think she bathed in blood.
No. I don't think that she maybe did half the things that they say she... I wouldn't be surprised if what she did wasn't much more unusual than shit that was going on anyway.
Yeah.
But she was a figurehead for it to go, right, well, we're going to go after you because you're a very powerful woman. But again, that is my, love of feminist conspiracy theory, me. So next week we decided to do a couple, didn't we?
We did, yes. We're going to do Ian Brady and Myra Hindley.
Who I don't know much about.
Oh.
But I know that they're local.
Yeah, Gorton, yeah. Moore's Murders. So it'll be an interesting one. because I think it's a case that a lot of people know about, except
you. Yeah, it's weird that I don't know about it, isn't it? I know I look like her when I dyed my hair blonde and I had roots, but I don't know much about the murders. So we're going to be talking about that next time on All Killer, No Filler. I just want to say, while we're here, lots of people have said that they really like our theme tune. I'd like to thank Will Duggan.
Thank you, Will.
Will Duggan on Twitter for composing that. And he just sort of bashed it out. That makes it sound like he masturbated.
I'm sure Will's bashed it out.
Well, he did actually record. There's a picture on the Twitter. He recorded it with his top off. Well, he has to, no. Because his shirt kept making noises that the recording was picking up. So we were like, just whip your shirt off. And he did it. He didn't even go, really? He just went, all right. It was off before we'd finished the sentence. So this has been the All Killer, No Filler podcast with Rachel Fairman and Kiri Pritchard-Klein. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.